let it fill your life, the gaps in your life first, before you make big changes. And then if you enjoy it and you like it, well, you're going to have to mix start saying to yourself, right, if I want to garden 16 hours a week, what do I give up? Don't try and cram an extra 16 hours and then already busy schedule, because for me, that's when it gets stressful.
Welcome to Thrive in the Future podcast, positive solutions to help you thrive. Homesteading, gardening, community, side hustles, and building skills. At Grow Nut Trees, I still have elderberry cuttings. Hurry before they get out of dormancy. I also have comfrey cuttings and crowns, and now I have pecan seedlings and some red mulberry seedlings. That's at grownuttrees.com. Times are tough, and you want to grow as much of your own food as possible and be as self-sufficient as possible. So how many feet of potatoes and how many potato plants do you need to be able to live off your garden? If you're stumped, go over to thrivinggardenplanner.com. Put in the number of people in your family. It tells you how many plants, how much space you need for lettuce, for everything. And in addition to that, it has another tab where you can track how much you actually saved. Last year, I grew 14 pounds of tomatoes, which saved me $50. And overall, my garden saved me $250 of what it would have cost me to buy it in the store. And that was not even a very good year. So go check it out at thrivinggardenplanner.com. And it's on sale right now for 10 bucks. You can't go wrong.
Okay, welcome back to Thrive in the Future. This week, I have Cormac Harkin from Vine Permaculture. Welcome, Cormac.
Hi, Scott. Thanks very much for having me on.
Sure. So tell us a little bit about yourself and Vine Permaculture.
Yeah, so me, I'm an engineer by trade. So I work as a radiotherapy engineer part-time during the day. And I'm also trying to work on Vine Permaculture as well. So permaculture designer now two or three years. So originally worked for Food Forest Abundance, still work for them. But I also have Vine Permaculture as well, where we also sell designs. And we have a blog. And I have a podcast where we focus on permaculture, education, careers, and business. So basically, what do? You get a PDC and you have all that enthusiasm. Where do you channel that energy? So trying to showcase different people, different careers from around the world and what they're doing to sort of try and inspire people and help navigate that initial hurdle of post-PDC. So we have a course as well that we sell, PDC to Professional. We can chat about that later.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I definitely want to talk about that. So I like your website, and tell a little bit about your podcast as well.
Yeah, so the podcast, now we've done 50 episodes, recorded the 50th last night. Mm-hmm. That's been pretty good. Some quite good guests. We have big followings on, like Morgan Gold and Curtis Stone. I've been enjoying talking to people, finding out what they're doing, finding people that don't really have a social media presence, like Ivan Yahalnitsky and Lesotho was a great example of that, the work he's doing and learning about that and learning from him himself, where he doesn't have a big social media presence, but he's doing all sorts of things like solar ovens, farming, and it's all permaculture based. He has a center there. It's all great stuff. So finding things like that and sort of showcasing it well as well, learning about it and sort of podcast was started basically for me to learn about things. And I thought, well, why not record it as I go? And it's a good way for me to get access to these people, learn from them, and then share that with the audience as well.
Yeah, that's the approach I'm taking in 2024 as well. I like your approach there where, you know, so many podcasts, you get the same folks that just cycle around and you get an echo chamber going, right? I like talking to the people somebody posts something on Twitter or something like that, and they're not in the usual homesteading, prepper, permaculture, you know, cycle of podcasts and guests and stuff. So I like talking to folks like that. And you have the same approach. That's pretty good.
It helps too, working for Food Forest Abundance. Now there's like 40 designers there. So whenever I'm stuck, always have someone they rope in.
So Vine Permaculture, you have some folks in the US and then over in the UK, and you have even some, didn't you have somebody in Africa too?
Yeah, Guest was in Zimbabwe. Funny enough, now Guest lives 2 hours down the road from me. And yeah, and Yuri, he's working over here now, so he's continuing. It was just coincidence. His mother was a nurse here.
Sure.
So now he's here. So Mike, he's in Vermont, and Mike's is Gilda, which is a plant database. Himself here in Northern Ireland, and then Crystal, she is in Australia. So she's pretty education focused. She's done Warren Gamble's teaching courses. She's a teaching assistant with Jeff Lawton, and she thinks she's done three PDCs at this stage as well. So it's a good mix, the three of us. I like building stuff. And so I do the website, all the technical stuff, try and keep things going, and then we partner up then for projects like the course, and anything Emily want to offer.
Sure. Yeah, I like the designs you have on there as well. So you're using Affinity Designer, right? The as a design app, correct?
Yeah, we use Affinity. We use that because it's very accessible. It gets you a good product. It's not Adobe. We're not under any illusion about that, but it gets you 80% there for less than 20% of the price. So it's a
Sure.
one-off payment of, I guess, like $75 at the minute, around there. And you get to use it forever. You get all the updates. And it's a good tool to get started. It has everything there for you to produce professional looking designs. Just a bit of a learning curve. That's what our course hopes to help you with. But I started, I taught myself. So I have a master's in computer science. So I was okay with computer and getting up to speed. So I taught myself and then doing more designs. I think I've done 20 digital designs now. And then over the course of that, sort of honing different skills, building templates, having things that you can drag from another page. So for example, like trees, done it 1 to 5 foot. And then in the outside America, it's in meters. So you have the feet scale and your meter scale. So having two documents like that where you can just pull stuff in. For example, I use a lot of Stefan Sokoviak's tree trios. So I have them all pre-built in different sizes, different scales. So when I approach somebody's garden, if it's a certain scale, I just have to drag and drop them in. So things like that you build up over experience that you just might not think about off the bat. And you slowly, as you do designs, you just build up this portfolio of samples that you can just drop in and templates.
Sure. Yeah, so did the icons on there, like the trees and the other things that are typical in a permaculture design, did you design those yourself, or are they part of the package, or how does that work?
No, it's basically, it can go from anything from like just a circle, a green circle, a certain shade. So that's important as well, getting your brand colors right so that everything looks consistent. And then there is packages you can buy to put trees in. I think we were given templates from Food Forest Abundance of trees that we could use. So especially somebody who sat and drew the tree and then they've shared it with everybody else. And I think I use a lot of them shared open resources. So you don't have to do it all yourself. It's these shortcuts that help us sort of get there faster.
Good. When you're starting a consult with people, what do you start with? What's the first questions you use to kind of get their dreams and their plans out?
I start with a person and just are they basically I ask them what type of person and how much time do you want to spend in the garden and trying to figure out what type of person are they. So are they high energetic? Yes, I want everything. Give me the bells and the whistles. Or are they more laid back? Like, oh no, I just want 3 or 4 hours a week. And then so you're starting to think then, right, more perennials for the lazier person and more annuals for the high energy person. So it's and then you just say, right, I always say, go to your kitchen now and where's your garden? And I make them walk to the garden. And then is it a if it's the correct orientation? So if it's like what was that? If it's south facing, then that's great because then that's where you can put their kitchen garden. So they just sort of get into the mindset of right, it's how the person operates in the space and what energy the person has is where I start my designs. And then we work out from there.
Sure. And that way they're not avoiding or ignoring some parts by putting them too far out. So they're putting them in zone 3 or 4 or something, and that's too far out, and they're not going to get that much interaction with it.
So you start with a person, then your zone zero, the space. How does the transfer from zone zero to zone one? And then at the start of zone one, what do they want there? What do they eat? It's important. You don't want them growing stuff that they don't eat. So it's like write down 5 or 6 herbs that you eat, put them at the back door setting. I think that making them walk is a good thing. And it sort of starts in their mind, right? This is the processes that I have to use when they move further out, but it just gets them out and starts the imagination going, oh, my herbs are going to be here. and trying to put them in the design before the design's even started.
Yeah, that's good.
So,
I especially like that question of so what do you like to eat? Because there's so many people that grow stuff that they really don't like to eat that much. They like cucumbers a little bit, but then they end up with 20 cucumbers a week, and they're dumping them off on their friends, and they're leaving them on neighbors' porch and stuff like that. And it's like, okay, yeah, so dial that back a little bit.
Yeah, and especially for me, like I have a small salad garden. It's very, very tiny, but it does mean salads the whole summer.
Sure.
So I have max. It's a small space, but it gives me what I need out of it, and I'm not stressing about having too much or too little. It's just over the years I've sort of tailored it. It's just about right. And if I go out and there's no salad there, really, it's just cut and come again.
Yeah, that's the ones I use. I use the black seeded Simpson cut and come again variety, and then just cut it every couple weeks.
Yeah, so go out, lift your eggs from the chicken coop, your salad from your salad bed, and there you go, you have an omelet and a salad. And trying to start off with that one basic thought, and then you're building. So there's a lot of stacked functions in that. It's getting them to that mindset. It's finding out whether they want chickens. It's letting them know that they have to be out and active every day, that they're going to have to go out and look after the chickens.
Sure.
So it's trying to have a shift of mindset that they have to actually produce something instead of just something land at their door.
Yeah, and getting more self-sufficient and then producing rather than just consuming, right?
Yeah, and even if it's just a small bit, what I found when I started in permaculture was you see the showcase things that Jeff Lawton does, these fantastic small urban gardens, and there's multi layers, and permaculture doesn't have to be like that. It can be a small salad garden in your back, and that's a good start. And I think people get overwhelmed when they see all this sort of every square inch has been taken up, which is fantastic to demonstrate, but not everybody has to get there. So
Sure.
you can have a small chicken coop, some spuds, salad, and it could look perfectly normal from the outside, but you're still practicing permaculture. You're still taking that first step. So trying to encourage people as well, just to take them small and steady steps, and don't be looking at the flash stuff that's really good, but you don't have to get there. You just have to do a wee bit.
Yeah, that's good. I saw on your website you do a free food forest abundance strategy session. So if someone's wanting to plant trees, they want to have a food forest, they don't know whether they want swales, they don't know whether they want guilds or whatever. So you actually have a you have a calendar and they can sign up and have a strategy session with you.
Yeah, so I do it for Vine Permaculture, and I also freelance work for Food Forest Abundance, and they're based out of Florida. So
Right.
if you go to their website, I'm on the East Coast team. So you can book on that Calendly link is for me working for Food Forest Abundance. So what that involves then is just a strategy session with me. So 30 minutes trying to encourage people to grow food forests, trying to encourage people to grow food who are fed up with a Google search and want to chat to a human, an
Yeah,
experienced
exactly.
human who knows what they're doing. And you can get a lot out in 30 minutes. Quite often they go longer because you often find you have a lot in common. I think my last one was 2 hours long. I can't do
Really?
that too often. When you get talking to people and it's always interesting people, you can get chatting. I wouldn't make a habit of that now. Just basic advice on where do they start. And you just say, well, where are you now? And trying to get them to do something from where they now, and then all the options down the road. So you've from basic beginner gardener, where they at, how much land do they have? Are
Sure.
they in Florida, a sandy soil? It could be a desert, different climates. So what are their soil conditions? What's their climate like? How much of the growing season do they want to operate in? Just trying to again match that personality with their property. So your a quick 30 minutes can tell, and then sharing resources after that. So you can say, all right, here's some videos if you're interested. And then after that, they can either purchase a design or they can ask for another consultation and it's paid.
That's an interesting funnel.
And not everybody needs a design either. You might find that somebody just needs five or six consultations along the way.
Sure.
So it just depends on the person. Trying to encourage people to grow and get less lawns and more food.
Exactly. I like episode 43 when you were talking about it. You were talking about a go for the minimum viable product. And of course, being in IT, I know what that is. It's what do you need to do to get to the minimum there? Everybody goes all out and then they never get one thing done. So it's, get the core stuff done first, right?
Yes. And I think I was chatting to somebody about this the other day too, but was it Google and Microsoft, the two different approaches? Google throws stuff out and fixes it, and then does Microsoft wait dates like 99% rate, and then they put it out. So to me, the best approach is just put it out and then iterate it, fix everything as you go, because then you're out. At least you've something out there.
One of the popular keywords or whatever is build in public. So, like you said, put it out there, take some feedback. It might just not be going anywhere and run with it.
Yeah. It's like when I started the podcast, I didn't feel I was ready for the podcast. It just is, I have to do it now. I always ask myself, we'll do it in 6 months or we'll do it now. And I go, what will change in 6 months? And I'll just do it now, because you're getting in the reps when nobody's looking. And
Sure.
then I learned that just a few business things I went through as well, was just get something out there and then you can iterate. But you have to expect to take the criticism as well. You have to flow with that. So that's feedback. Accept feedback. Is permaculture principle. So you have to accept that and change. And the people that you meet that will do stuff you that give you value then after that is amazing.
Right.
So people will correct you, people will point out different things, which is fantastic. And then you learn from them, you go back, you reiterate, you fix things one by one. And at the end of the day, you're gonna have a product then that you can stand by.
Right, exactly. What other tips do you have for people starting out?
Slow and steady. Just, I don't know, it's an old cliche, but it's actually true in anything. So start off with small bed. I started off, I think, with a small 3 foot by 6 foot bed made out of old scaffold planks, threw some dirt in it. Went bought compost in the shop, threw it in. I think it grew flowers, some food, and then that's how I started. Next year, done a bit more. Then I had chickens. Then I had. And any year that I've tried to do too much, it's been a disaster. So it's just slow and steady, and grow your garden and grow your permaculture into your lifestyle. It's an oil tanker, not a speedboat, your life. So just turn it slightly, and it takes a while to turn that and get yourself in the mindset. Now, some people can just flick a switch and go all out, but I think the majority of people just let it fill your life, the gaps in your life first, before you make big changes. And then if you enjoy it and you like it, well, you're going to have to mix start saying to yourself, right, if I want to garden 16 hours a week, what do I give up? Don't try and cram an extra 16 hours and then already busy schedule, because for me, that's when it gets stressful. So if I'm sitting down to something, I'll say, right, I have for the podcast, for example, I have 4 hours a week, and that's it. That's 4 hours a week, and that's it. I can't add anything on extra. And if I want to add something extra, then I have to take that out. So the same applies for gardening. If you want to manage two gardens, if you take 8 hours a week, where are you getting that 8 hours a week from?
Sure.
You can't be sitting at 10 o'clock on a Tuesday night or something, or a Saturday night, flat out, and everybody cracking up with your family or whatever, your other commitments, they end slide. So just start off with a small bed. If you have time for that, spend a couple of days, put in a potato bed or something that's like a long-term storage crop that you plant once, and then that's it. You set and forget. Add a few fruit trees. Just slowly build. See what you like as well. I love having the chickens here. I like that. I just go with what I like and not what sort of you have to do for maximum efficiency or maximum impact.
I've got a food forest with chestnuts, hazelnuts, and apples. That's been working pretty well. After I put the apples don't do well, and I put them in mounds and some small swales, and then they started doing much better because I don't really irrigate the apples. The one of my type one errors is that I don't have any water close to the garden, so I have to drag a 75-foot hose over there. So, but.
Luckily enough, Ireland has no shortage of rain.
Yeah,
Right.
well, in Kansas, there's a shortage of rain. We don't have April showers bring May flowers. We don't get rain until May and June, and then it's in big thunderstorms. So, yeah.
And Kansas do you have that it gets really hot in the middle and then sort of
Yeah.
tapers off, so you have like a double spring almost.
Yeah. So
That like sort of
sometimes
so.
the season's long enough where I can get, I'll be planting potatoes here pretty quick. And I can get a couple of seasons of potatoes if I do it right and I don't get a late frost.
Yeah, I like potatoes, and that's It's great. You throw them in, you mound them up. And then what I do then is after potatoes, so it's things that we tricks, I guess, then it sort of you pick up is when the potatoes are finished, then I harvest the potatoes and just leave the bed. And then what happens is my nasturtiums come up and then they take over the whole bed.
Oh, yeah.
And then I get edible flowers on the same bed as the potatoes. So then you're picking away at the, you can eat the leaves, you can eat the flowers. And then at the end of the season, I just cut that down and just chop it all up, leave it there. And then that's it. The bed goes dormant. It's covered. It's mulched for the winter. Fall winter, then I take, so every year I was getting compost out of the chicken coop. So then just add another layer of compost, come to the spring again, plant the potatoes, and then the cycle repeats itself. So the nasturtiums were always self-seeding. They also provided the fertility then, along with chicken coop. So I have a potatoes growing in the same bed for about 8 years, and people tell me you can't, you're going to get blight, you're going to get this, but it's adding that fertility in life. It just keeps giving. And then it's an easy, for me, we limited time, it's an easy system. And it's every year the nasturtiums come up and they self-seed. So it's like a perennial, it's turning like a perennial for me because it's just there every year. And you learn tips and tricks like that. So that's a just a lazy. So I include that now in some of my designs. It's just that people want potatoes. All they do is plant the nasturtiums once, and then they just keep coming back every year.
Yeah, I plant the nasturtiums in between the beans, and then they grow up the trellis as well. And then I really like the nasturtium flowers. They've got that kind of mustardy flavor to them, so I like it.
Beautiful. I love them. I just love picking them. Nice peppery taste. That's lovely. So it's things that get you learn over the years. You're not going to know straight away, but it turned out from just being having a lazy bed, they and things happen, and then just you discover these things, and then so it's very important you stick to your time, what time you're allocated, and then that keeps it enjoyable, stress free.
Great. So how can folks contact you, Cormac?
Yeah, you can contact me at finepermaculture.com. My email is cormac@finepermaculture. If you go to that site, you can check out our blog there as well with our articles about how do you start on permaculture. Just entry level, just sort of basic stuff for people entry level, not too complicated. And that's intentional. We don't want to bamboozle people. That's another
Right.
thing we found. We're trying to be different in the permaculture spaces. Find the permaculture professionals tend to want to get into the soil sample and get into the sort of high knowledge stuff and skip the basics. So we always thought there was a gap between all the permaculture information, swales, water, dams. What do you do with all this stuff to just write? Let's take it down to the bare basic, your basic homestead or your basic house, your water. How do you start a salad garden? What is permaculture? So that's where the blogs are aimed at. And they'll
Right.
always be at that level. We're not going to get too complicated. We might introduce topics like swales, but you'll never get into the diagrams. There's a lot of people doing that better than us.
Sure.
But we hope they point in the right resource. Like if you want to learn more, are you in a desert climate? We might have half a dozen tips for you. But then if you want to dive deep, we'll direct you in the right direction. And after that, and then the podcast, the YouTube at the Permaculture Vine. If you're inspired to have a career in permaculture, check it out over there where you can see the different ways people are earning a living from beekeeping, market gardening, to applying regenerative principles for other businesses. So a nice varied range of topics across there.
Great. Thank you, Cormac.
Thank you, Scott.
You
It's been
bet.
great. Not used to being on the other side of the chair. But I'll get used to it.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it's good. Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Hey, if you like this episode, leave us a tip on Venmo or Cash App at Thriving the Future, or join the Patreon.com/thrivingthefuture. You get early episodes and you get extras. Thank you. Check out Thriving News. That's where Perpin and I share longer form articles about homesteading, mindset, milpa gardening, food forest, etc. Go check it out at thrivingnews.com. Thank you for listening to the Thrive in the Future podcast. If you like what you hear, please click that like or subscribe button in your favorite podcast app. Follow us on Twitter @ThriveInTheFute and also go to thriveinthefuture.com.